Welcome to the tax update for May 2015. And in this edition, we look at four items. As usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes, which in themselves contain links to the original material, should you wish to do further research. And the first item today is a case of Friedman versus Friedman, where the court was being asked to set aside a settlement because the settlement had been set up to try and protect assets and had no intention of avoiding any tax, but in fact creating an interest in possession settlement around two properties worth over $800,000 created a tax liability of $156,000 on the transfer into the settlement. This was clearly unintended. All parties affected by the settlement, except HMRC, supported the application to set aside the settlement under Rule 8. But HMRC objected because, of course, they were getting £156,000 of tax plus interest. Now, ever since the Hastings-Bass principle was restricted by the decisions in Pitt versus Holt and Footer versus Footer, there must have been concern for many professional advisers that the ability to sort a mistake in a contract was very limited. If I might paraphrase the Pitt versus Holt and Footer versus Footer decisions, the court made it clear that it would be unsympathetic to remedying any contracts which were entered into for the purposes of tax avoidance, and it was also not the court's function to identify or indemnify insurers. So if professional advice had been sought and that advice was wrong, the recourse was to seek compensation from the advisor and not to amend the contract. Melanie Friedman, now aged 53, had agreed to follow her father's wishes that the property which she lived in and owned should be put into an interest and possession settlement. And this was to protect the concerns that she might be persuaded by predatory men to give her assets to them. Miss Friedman was not wealthy. She was a dinner lady, but of course her parents were wealthy, and she had bought the two properties using loans from her father. The first property was intended to be sold and the proceeds used to repay the loan. But Mr. Friedman Sr. died in 2013. He had sought advice from a solicitor, but that solicitor had failed to appreciate the effects of Section 49 of the Inheritance Tax Act and the changes that occurred in 2006. The court was being asked to make an order under Part 8 to set aside the settlement on the grounds of equitable mistake, and on appreciating the consequences of what had been put into the settlement, one cannot help but say it is obvious that a dreadful mistake was made, and it's only right that the settlement, which was a voluntary arrangement, should be set aside when the production of a tax liability of £156,000 was clearly a mistake. The court ruled that in this case it was appropriate to set aside the settlement, and I am sure that this case deserves a careful reading by all advisers. There's a new Treasury team in place, although George Osborne and David Gulp remain, but there are three new people. And there's also going to be a budget on the 8th of July, so we can all wait in some trepidation to see what the new policies emerge. An interesting case is about the balance to be struck between the right of privacy and HMRC's powers, which are available to access statutory documents and obtain information under Schedule 36 of Finance Act 2008. This was a case where a taxi driver, Carmel Johnson, objected to a business records check and refused to provide the information. So HMRC served a notice under Schedule 36, and she duly appealed this, and it was heard by the first-tier tribunal, who did restrict the notice, amending it slightly, but concluded that there is no right of appeal against HMRC's request to access statutory accounts and documents. Not being happy with the decision of the first-tier tribunal, Carmel Jordan appealed to the upper tribunal, but HMRC objected to the upper tribunal on the basis that the decision of the first-tier tribunal on an information notice to access business records is final and there is no further right. And the Upper Tribunal agreed with that, striking out the appeal and confirming that the HMRC had a right to access statutory records which are reasonably required. Finally, HMRC have on the 11th of May published a new CWG2, which is statutory guidance on pay as you earn, and is a must read for all advisors on payroll and employers. Thanks very much for listening.